Join me in their prayer for illumination. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's lesson is Luke chapter 1, 26 through 45. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Marissa. And thank you, Angie and her gentlemen, for the candle lighting this morning. Well, I know that you're itching to get to the highlight of our worship of God today, which is the music department's presentation of selections from Messiah. And we do have a congregational meeting afterward, as I mentioned, so we'll be here a little while longer than usual. So I've tried to make the following sermon kind of brief, so hopefully that's the case. Well, fortunately for that, today's Bible story might be a familiar one to you because it comes back around every year at this time. One of you even told me this week that this passage with Mary and Elizabeth is your favorite passage in the Bible because it reminds you of the feelings and the hopes and the expectations of your pregnancies. And not all of us can have that kind of feeling, of course, and not even all of those who could have that feeling will have it. Men cannot get pregnant, as I hope you know, and many women don't experience pregnancy. But we can all acknowledge, or at least assume, that pregnancy probably brings about the most unique experiences and feelings that a person can have. I had a lot of fun this week checking on that assumption, floating around some thoughts about this Bible passage with a number of you. I've not been particularly close to a pregnancy since 1985 when my little sister was born. And one of Kelsey's older sisters was pregnant when we first started dating, but I only met her briefly when she was pregnant, and that was her fourth pregnancy anyway, her fifth child, though only her third who made it to term. For all the wonderful things about pregnancy, it can also be a dangerous and scary thing. When I asked some of you what your first pregnancies were like, I got answers ranging from "everybody tries to tell you what to expect, but nothing really prepares you," to first-time mothers think they know everything. I also got some good stories about driving in the snow to the hospital, barely having enough time to get to the hospital, having a baby within a week of moving to Danville and having to drop your other kid off at your boss's house because he's the only other person you knew in town. And even one of you being born at home instead of the hospital because your parents had to save the money to keep your family farm during the Great Depression. It was be born at the hospital or keep the farm. In addition to pregnancy stories, I got to hear a lot of birth stories this week, but we'll get to the birth more on Thursday. Today is about the pregnancy story, the expectation story. As many of you have told me, when you're expecting, everything is a new experience. There are things that you've never felt before, and you don't know what to think of them. Or even if you have felt these things before, you aren't sure what to think of them now because they might mean something different now that you have a baby growing inside of you. Even those old feelings need to be interpreted in new ways because of the new things going on inside you. And here are two of the best quotes that I got this week. You read, you listen to what everyone says because everyone's trying to tell you, and you try to prepare as much as you can, but you don't have control. Everything is a new experience. And another one, whenever something feels strange and you get scared, you remind yourself that this has been going on since the beginning of time. People give birth every day and you're going to be okay. Now, those quotes were about pregnancy, but I think they can apply to more than just pregnancy. Not all of us can become pregnant. Not all of us can feel the kinds of expectations and emotions that come with pregnancy. Certainly not all of us can experience childbirth. Well, I guess all of us have experienced childbirth, just not in the way I'm talking about. In this story, God is using pregnancies, and they're important pregnancies, Jesus and John the Baptist. But God is also making a statement about the ways that he can work in the world and in our lives. Throughout the Old Testament and throughout God's history of his people of Israel, time and time again, a woman who was thought to be unable to have children ended up becoming pregnant. There were Sarah and Rebecca and Rachel and Hannah, just to name a few. And in the Psalms, people sang of God helping even barren women to have children. These stories were poignant not only for the families involved, but for the nation. Because over and over again, God was telling them that when they thought their hopes had expired, when they thought they were at their end as a people, over and over again, God would still find ways to work. God would still find ways to bring new life. Even when it looked like the family tree of Israel had been cut down to a stump, God would send forth a new shoot of growth. So, when Elizabeth becomes pregnant, it's a sign that God is still working to bring new growth and new hope out of a people who are thought to be barren. Right before the story that Marissa read, the Bible tells us that Elizabeth was advanced in years. And she read that, and Marissa read that even the one who was thought to be barren was in her sixth month of pregnancy. The same angel Gabriel who had come to talk to Mary had appeared to Elizabeth's husband Zechariah and had told her that his son would become a great prophet and would prepare the way for the Lord. Zechariah didn't quite believe that because he knew that his wife Elizabeth was on in years. And here's the catch. Zechariah was rendered mute because of that. He was given that word, but he couldn't say it. So it might even be the case that Elizabeth didn't know the significance of the baby that she was carrying. Because Elizabeth, even if Zechariah was literate, it's highly unlikely that she was literate. So even if Zechariah had tried to write something to her, she wouldn't have really known. One of y'all pointed that out to me this week as well. So even though Elizabeth knew she had a miracle going on inside her, she might not have even been sure what that miracle was going to bring. So even though her pregnancy was miraculous, even though it fit the pattern of the ways that God had worked in the past, God was at work in a way that not even Elizabeth could comprehend. And this is fitting because when God performs miracles, even in our lives, when God performs miracles, He doesn't do so just for the sake of us having a miracle, us experiencing a miracle. He does so in order to lead us to Him, in order to draw us toward Him. The miracle is not the point. The miracle points us to who God really is. And that's exactly what He's doing with the miracle of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Once Mary showed up at Elizabeth's house, the baby inside her let her know exactly who was showing up. Not just Mary, but the Son of God Himself. Now for Mary, the experience was a little different. Whereas Elizabeth was older and was thought to be barren, Mary was the opposite. Young, with many years of fertility ahead of her. Fertility that had not even been tested. If Elizabeth was an example of God working in an old way, Mary was an example of God doing something completely new. If Elizabeth was a reminder that God would work in ways that His people had tried so often without bearing fruit, Mary was an example that God will work in a way that His people had not even tried to conceive. These are important reminders to us that God can work inside things, inside lives, inside people, inside relationships, even inside cities that were long thought to be old and barren. And God might even do something for which we are not even prepared to think. The tough thing about that, though, is that if we are not prepared, we are often unwilling, or uncertain at least. When the angel Gabriel came to Mary, he told her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." Well, that sounds great, right? An angel of God comes to us and says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." But the next thing we hear is that Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what sort of greeting this might be. Now, why would Mary be greatly troubled when an angel comes and says, "You are highly favored"? Now, it sounds strange, but if we think about it, a lot of the things that God might want us to do in our lives can be a bit troubling at first. God often wants us to get out of our comfort zones. He wants us to reach out to people, some of whom we might know, others whom we might not know. He wants us to reach out of ourselves to make room for Him to work. It can be difficult to let God take over and to do things for His sake rather than our own. When Gabriel tells Mary how this whole pregnancy thing is going to come about, he tells her that the Holy Spirit will come upon her and the power of the Almighty God will overshadow her. In one sense, he's telling her how Jesus is going to be conceived in her womb. But in another sense, that's how she was going to be for the next 9 months and for the rest of her life. As those of you who have been pregnant can attest, that pregnancy and then the children who follow overshadow your own life. Mary's submission and acceptance of this are remarkable, and she models the way that we are supposed to receive God's work in our lives. If we really want to open ourselves to God's work, we have to let Him overshadow us. We have to let God overshadow our desires and our plans. If we want to restore relationships in our lives, or get closer to who God wants us to be, or to simply know what He wants from us, we have to allow Him to start overshadowing us. And that might mean we have to take risks and let part of ourselves die. But in those moments, we have to remember that even Jesus Himself had to die on a cross to restore our relationship with Him. But looking at Elizabeth and Mary, we're also reminded that when God is at work, He does not isolate us from others in whom He is also at work. In fact, He often calls us closer together, and He works in ways that He has already made known. Mary's conception might have been something new, but pregnancy itself wasn't. Like one of you mentioned this week, this has been going on since the beginning of time. She was going to carry the baby for about 9 months, just like pregnancies go. And she was going to have to feed it and be careful and mindful of the work that God was doing inside her. The things God wants to do in our lives might seem new, might seem troubling, but they do take time to grow in us. And we take time to grow into them. We do so through prayer, through worship, and, like Mary and Elizabeth, through coming together with one another to know how to navigate God's new work. Coming to terms with what God is doing is often difficult, laborious, confusing, and alien in some way, but it's also full of hope, full of expectation, full of joy. And he still acts as he always has. And faithfulness to his word can bring hope and new life where we thought it might not have been possible, and where we might not have even looked. So as we go into Christmas, perhaps there is a way that God wants to work in us. And he's calling us to nurture that work. Individually, in our families, in our lives, in our life together, in our community, in our brothers and sisters around the world. Perhaps there is a way that he is longing to work in us. And perhaps that might be troubling sometimes, but we have to let him overshadow us. He's calling us to nurture and grow that work. When we are expecting, it is God who is calling us to hope and prepare and join with others who are looking forward to the same. Let him overshadow you. Let him overshadow us. Let us greet his work with expectancy and the knowledge that we share it together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, send your Holy Spirit into our lives so that we may expect your work and we may submit to your will. If there are relationships that we need to restore, if there are relationships we need to find, work that we need to do for your sake, we ask that you can remind us by the wonders you have done in Elizabeth and Mary, by the prophecy of your word, and by the sacrifice of Christ, that you have called us to set aside ourselves and let you overshadow us. Help us this week to be guided by you. Help us to grow closer to you. And help us to find ways to nurture your word in us. We pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen.